Let's start with the prayers. Vasudeva sutam devam kamsa chanuramartharam devaki paramanandam krishnam vande jagadgurum. So today what we are going to do is we are going to start the Shankara Bhashyam study. I have already circulated the notes which I am presenting in the class. In case you have not received it, please write to us and we will send it to you. Shankara Bhashyam is a very divine, supreme presentation of the Bhagavad Gita, and it's a very deep study. It takes time, but it is a thorough study. I will proceed with the general introduction for the Shankara Bhashyam, and then we will move on to the first portion of the Bhashyam, which is the Mangala Shloka. Shankaracharya has written a special Mangala Shloka for the Bhashyam. Generally, when we study in philosophy, the various views of different philosophers to explain the universe, it is in Sanskrit called Darshanam. It's a vision. It's a vision of a sage or a thinker or a rishi. And in the Indian tradition, in the olden times, there were six Darshanams. We are going to study all this in the Bhashyam, so I am just introducing them to you. And in each Darshanam, in each philosophy, there were six topics in the Darshanam. The names of the different Darshanams I will give you in the next slide. But what are the main contents of the Darshanam? Darshanam means vision. Any philosophy has to address these six topics. Number one, Jiva Swarupam. Who am I? What is the nature of the individual? The second is Jagat Swarupam. What is the nature of the world in which we find ourselves? Ishvara Swarupam, nature of God, whether God exists or whether God doesn't exist. The fourth topic is, am I bound or am I free? First question was, who am I? This, suppose you say I am the body or I am the mind, the next topic is this mind bound to this body, or is there any other I which is not bound? Who is the person who is suffering in this world? And if he is suffering, what is the root cause of bondage? What is the root cause? Why are we born? Why does a jiva, gets a birth? Now these are the topics which we study. Then the fifth topic is Moksha Swarupam. Moksha Swarupam means, can I ever get liberation? Can I get freedom from this body and mind? And the last topic is Sadhana Swarupam. What are the disciplines followed for getting this moksha? And what is the path? So six topics are there for a vision of philosophy. In the olden days, there were 12 philosophers. Dvadasha Darshanani, 12 philosophies in Indian system. They are broadly divided into two groups, Astikas and Nastikas. Astika means somebody who believes in the Veda. Nastika means somebody who does not believe in the Veda. The Astikas were divided into six categories, six philosophers. Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Purva Mimamsa, Uttar Mimamsa. And Nastikas were Charvakas, Jainamatham and Buddhism, which had four types of, four sub-classifications. Now the 12 darshanas, the 12 visions, are generally divided into three groups. One group is which is focused only on tarka, which is logic, reasoning. And they are purely nastikas. Then among the astikas, there are two groups. One is Veda Pradhana, who gives Veda the primary reason for their vision. Tarka is used to filter the interpretation of the Veda. Then there is a third one group called as Tarka Pradhana. All the Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, they all come under this category or they all come in the category of one second, I'll try to. So they all come in the category of Astikas, no doubt, but they accept Veda as secondary. Primary importance given by Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika is that they are logic oriented. They don't give much importance to Veda. Shankaracharya falls in the Veda Pradhana category. All of us, our primary focus is the Veda. Upanishads is our main pramanam. So normally we use Shruti, Yukti and Anubhava. Shruti is given the prominent area as a source of jnana. So if the Bhagavad Gita teaches us that there is something called as Atma, we give primary importance to the Shruti. Our Anubhava may not be there for this Atma. By logic, we may not be able to understand that this Atma exists. But what do we say? We give primary benefit, prominent status to Bhagavad Gita. The Purva Mimamsa are those people who were rituals oriented. And they had Karma Kanda as the source of knowledge. Karma Kanda means the Veda Purva Bhaga. In the Veda Purva Bhaga, basically Swarga is the highest, heaven. Even in other religions, something called as a heaven or Swarga is the highest, which we reach after death, and there we get moksha, there we get hope, there we get freedom. So those people who believe in this type of freedom, they do not focus on the Jnana Kanda, that is the Veda Anta portion. So Vedanta basically means three texts. Primary text is Shruti, which is the Upanishads. The secondary text which we are studying is the Gita. And then there are Prakarana Granthas, which are called as Tattva Bodha, Atma Bodha. These are all preparatory texts. Now, Prasthana Trayam, Prasthana Trayam means Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, and Brahma Sutras, which is Nyaya Prasthana, which is logic oriented. And normally when a student comes in, he studies Bhagavad Gita first, then the Upanishads, and then the Brahma Sutras. And normal study for Bhagavad Gita is you study the Moolam. Moolam means we just study the basic meaning of those verses without the commentaries of Shankaracharya or Anandagiri or any other, Ratna Prabha, like any other commentary. Now that is like a fast food. It's like you get a quick view of the entire gist of the Gita. But once you have studied the Moolam, you come to study the Bhashyam. And traditional Bhashyam means written by Shankaracharya. And Bhashyam is a very, very detailed study of each word in the verse. In the shloka, every word is taken up and analyzed, and then sometimes there are debates also. For one verse, it can take 2 weeks to study. Chapter 13, third verse. Kshetraknyam chapi mam vidhi. It takes almost 2 weeks to study one verse. But it has to be learned from a guru. When we study this Bhagavad Gita through the Bhashyam, it is a very intense study. It may take time. So one has to be ready to spend time for the Bhashyam study. Jnanam, when you say, it has got, either we get through the listening mode, or sometimes whatever you listen, when you meditate on them, you can get more in-depth study. This earth of ours is almost 6,000 years old, and the Shastras have been in existence for almost 5,000 years. When we study these texts, they are still valid. These commentaries are still valid. And the three tools which are used for the Bhashyam study is Vyakaranam, Mimamsa, and Tarka. Tarka means logic, Mimamsa means interpretation, law of interpretation, and Vyakaranam means grammar. So we need to have patience, we need to have a proper mental makeup, and then intellectual sharpness. When you study Bhashyam, your mind should be focused, concentrated on the study of a verse and its meaning. Because we are studying a detailed meaning of those verses in Bhashyam. There are three Bhashyams which are very famous of Shankaracharya: Adhyasa Bhashyam, Avatarika Bhashyam, and Sambandha Bhashyam. The Bhashyam which we are studying is in Bhagavad Gita is called as Avatarika Bhashyam, Introduction to Bhagavad Gita. Adhyasa Bhashyam is studied when we do Brahma Sutra, Introduction to Brahma Sutra. And there is a very famous Bhashyam called Sambandha Bhashyam, which is Introduction to Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Now, three topics which are covered in Avatarika Bhashyam, that means the introduction to to Bhagavad Gita, the three topics are that Gita depends on Veda, number one. Number two, it is a Moksha Shastra. It is a tool to get freedom from body and mind identifications. There is something called as Atma. If my intellect is able to identify with that Atma, I am free. The entire 18 chapters is only to just to get this view. I am Atma Swarupaha. And the third topic in Avatarika Bhashyam, in the Bhashyam which we are studying now, introductory Bhashyam, I am still not gone into the introduction, but this is just a preliminary study. So the third portion is knowledge as a means for liberation. See, how do I get liberated? Can somebody touch me and I'll get liberated? No. Shankaracharya clearly says knowledge. You need to have knowledge, that is why Shravanam is important. Normally, we come across confusions when we study Bhagavad Gita. Some say bhakti is the main topic. Some say karma yoga is the main topic. Some say jnana yoga is the main topic. And some say upasana yoga is the main topic. What is Shankaracharya's interpretation? He says karma yoga, bhakti yoga, and Upasana Yoga are the means to Jnana Yoga. They are the preparatory steps for getting Jnana. Why do we need to prepare? Because we need a pure mind. We need a pure mind for the knowledge of Atma to sink into our mind. So, Gita, Brahma Sutra, the Puranas written by, 18 Puranas written by Veda Vyasa, all of them, they align with the Veda Pramanam. Veda is a Pramanam. What is the job of a Pramanam? Eyes are a Pramanam. Eyes will show us what? Form and color. Ears are for sound. The skin is for touch. The nose is for the smell. The tongue is for the taste. So they are all pramanams for certain knowledge. What about Veda? What about Bhagavad Gita? What about Upanishads or Brahma Sutra? They are the pramanam for knowing you are Atma. For Atma Jnanam, there is no other Pramanam. You must be very, very clear about this. So, this is a broad introduction to the Bhashyam study. And in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, the Lord says, I have taught this yoga, Jnana Yoga, to Manu, which means this Moksha Shastra has been existent for a very, very long time. So Bhagavad Gita reveals the Vedic teaching. It is a Moksha Shastra. It establishes Jnanam as the only means of Moksha. Now we come to the beginning of Bhashyam. I have already circulated to you which Bhashyam textbooks we are going to use. I will probably talk about it towards the end of the talk. But all of you must have received the WhatsApp message which tells you there are four books we are going to refer. Two primary books for the Bhashyam study. For the entire chapter 2 which we are going to do Bhashyam study, there is one Gita Press book, and then there is one book by Ramakrishna Mission. And both these books, I have sent you the details by WhatsApp. In case you are not on the WhatsApp, and you get the talks by email, you can write to us, we will send it to you. Now this one is a Mangala Shloka. If you look at the Bhashyam, the Gita Press book and the English translation book, you will start with this. This Mangala Shloka is from Brahmanda Puranam. Shankaracharya physically lifts it from Brahmanda Puranam and puts it as his Mangala Shloka. And a very beautiful shloka. What is the meaning of the shloka? Narayanam is beyond the unmanifest. See how he picks up out of thousands and thousands of verses in the Puranas. He picks up this shloka, which is a very beautiful shloka. It gives you the entire gist of the Bhagavad Gita study. This Atma or Brahman is called as Narayanam. It is Avyakta Surupam. It is beyond the Prakriti, beyond matter. All of us, we know matter, five elements, but there is something which is beyond matter. It is called as Narayana. And what is Prakriti? Prakriti is a cosmic egg which is born from the cosmic egg. That means in the creation they said there was an egg, for the whole cosmos there was a seed. Now that seed was born from where? From unmanifest. Unmanifest means my eyes cannot see it. For example, we are all in unmanifest avastha, in sleep state. We don't have any knowledge of the sleep state, nothing. Similarly, for this universe, there was a similar state, and that is called as unmanifest. That unmanifest state is called as Prakriti. Normally, we think Prakriti means nature, that is a Panchabhutas. But then in the Veda, Prakriti is more deeper. And within this cosmic egg are the worlds in which we are all living in. So the salutation or namaskaram is to that unmanifest Brahman, Atma, which is the central theme for the Bhagavad Gita. Normally Mangala Shlokas are Ashirvada Rupam, Namaskara Rupam, Vastu Nirdesha Rupam. Here it is Vastu Nirdesha. Ashirvada means let there be happiness in the world. Loka Samastha Sukhinav Bhavantu. Then Namaskara Rupam means you invoke the grace of the Lord. So here in Gita's Mangala Shloka is Vastu Nirdesha Rupa Mangalam. Vastu means we are talking about something which exists, which my eyes cannot see, but which is beyond our normal perception. And that is called as Narayanam. Very beautiful meaning of Narayanam, which has been given here by Shankaracharya. Narayanam consists of two aspects. One is Sagunam, which we all know is Narayana, which is Venkatajalapati, which is Saguna Brahman, with Gunas, with Guna Mit, with Maya Shakti. And the same God with Maya Shakti has got another form, which is called as Nirgunam Brahma, which is the topic of study in the Bhagavad Gita. Now this Nirgunam Brahma transcends all the Shariams and the Prapancha. Sthula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram, Karana Shariram. It is in the Prapancha but also outside, without the Prapancha. Like in sleep state, we are in this Swarupam of ours. which is called as Atma or Brahman. But we don't know what is the nature of that and how to see this world in connection with that Atma. That is what we are going to learn in Bhagavad Gita. Matter is inert. It is not sentient. It doesn't have knowing function. But Brahman or Atma is sentient. It is a knowledge factor, Chaitanya Swarupa. In time, we have Karyam and Karana. But there is something which is beyond Karya Karanam, in which is called as Vilakshanam. In Vivek Chudamani, I have quoted this verse many times, verse number 260, which says that there is something beyond Karyam and Karanam. And in Mandukya, we call it as Turiyam. And in the Bhagavad Gita itself, in the 15th chapter, Lord Krishna says, Dvamimau Purushau Loke Charakshakshara Evacha. There are two things in this world, Kshara and Akshara. Kshara means which is perishable. And Akshara means which is imperishable. But beyond the Kshara and Akshara, there is Uttama Purushaha, which is given in the next verse, Uttama Purusha Svanyaha Paramartmetu Dakrutaha. The one who knows this Uttama Purusha, by knowledge itself, he will get freedom. By knowledge of Karya Karana Vilakshanam Brahma, I will get freedom from birth and life, death cycle. This is a cycle. Even in Brahma Sutra, the first sutra, Athato Brahma Jignyasa, after having lived a dharmic life, come to learn about Brahman, about this Narayana. This is the gist of this shloka. And Atma is equated to Narayana, which is the Sakshi of the entire universe. As I said, universe is in manifest form, unmanifest form. And Turiyam is the unmanifest form. And the suppose you ask, where did the Karana Prapancha come from? Ultimately, Karana Prapancha, everything comes out from this Narayana, unmanifest, Nirguna Tattva. All the 14 lokas, they are all part of the unmanifest Prakriti. The 14 lokas are there blessed by Narayana. Narayana means the pure consciousness principle. The world is a product. It cannot survive on its own. We need to understand there is something which is beyond the world, which is the Adhishthanam, which is the substratum for the world. For the whole universe, it is not only substratum for this my body-mind complex, but it is the substratum for the entire universe. So this Narayana or this this vastu, entity or reality, we call it reality in philosophy, this is ultimately the base of the whole universe. Now the universe can be contaminated, but not the consciousness Atma principle. Consciousness or Atma is not at all affected by anything happening to the body, mind or in the universe. Suppose there is a rain falls. When the rain falls, does anything happen to the space? Nothing. Space is always pure. But what is the cause of space? The cause of space is Atma. In the presence of Atma, you experience space, you experience your body, you experience mind, and you experience all the Karanam and Karyams within time. Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter has this verse, Yatha Kashastito Nityam Vayu Sarvatro Go Mahan. In this space, wind is moving, but the space is not affected by the wind. So, as I said, Shankaracharya borrows this from Brahmanda Purana. This Narayana, which is explained by Shankaracharya in the Mangala Shloka, is the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. See how beautiful the Bhashyam study begins. There is something which is avyaktam, which is beyond my human sense organs or mind's capacity to know. And that can be known through Bhagavad Gita. So by the study of Bhagavad Gita, what should be my focus? My focus should always be, what is Atma? What is Atma? What is Atma? We will be discussing many other things, Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga and all that. But ultimately, you should keep your eyes open for the study of Atma or Brahman. So this gives you an idea how I should study. Now, the next topic we are going to study now, the next portion of the Bhashyam, and this is, I'm calling it topic 2 to 7. The first topic was the Mangala Shloka. Now, topic 2 to 7 gives you a broad outline of how the creation was, how the creation came about, how Krishna was born to remove adharma from the world. And this Bhagavan, Lord Krishna, is the Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karanam. And what is the role of Bhagavan in this world? That is from topic 2 to 7. I will be running through these slides. I won't go into the depth of these slides because they are general in nature. Whenever there is something important, I will go into the depth. Otherwise, you have the notes with my talk. If you go through the notes, it will be fairly simple and you will know where to focus and how, where not to focus. Now, this is an exact translation of the full topic from 2 to 7. Full translation of Shankaracharya's commentary. I have broken them into 4 or 5 portions for easier understanding. And therefore, you will see smaller portions of the same in which is explained in the notes. Now, jivas were already existent all the time. Jiva is never created. Jiva is, has, So Lord does not create the Karana Prapancha. That means the Punya Papam of Jivas, the Lord doesn't create. Lord is just blessing. The entire world is got two forms, Vyaktam and Avyaktam. Vyaktam means waking state. Avyaktam means sleep state. So fundamental thing you should understand when you do Bhashyam study is, I need to understand the world first, then understand my own body-mind complex. The whole world itself is in two forms. Vyaktam, Avyaktam. That is why we have two states. Waking state and sleep state. So, this Karana Prapancha means the causal form of this world exists in the Lord all the time. That means even now, Lord exists, world exists. World does not exist separate from the Lord. Many people, they make this mistake. They try to differentiate the world. Initially, we have to do it. What is the nature of consciousness? What is the nature of the world? World is Jadam, consciousness is Chetanam, sentient. In Aitareya Upanishad, Atma va idam eke eva atma va idam ek eva agre asi. That means atma alone existed without the creation, and knowing this fact that atma can exist without body mind is a direct pramanam for moksha. So main thing is there are two conditions of the world: manifest condition, unmanifest condition. Beyond the manifest and unmanifest, there is a principle called as Brahman or Atma. Atma and Brahman are synonymous because there is only one reality. Knowing that reality, I am free. You can know anything about the body. Doctors have done enough research on the body. They can cure diseases, but they cannot know Atma. You can study the cosmos, but you cannot study Atma. For Atma study, you have to come to Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavan created the universe. How the universe was created? With the help of Prajapati, seven rishis, and then they were the controllers. They were controllers of different laws in the world. And then they gave the dharmic, the art of living was also taught to the rishis. And karma kanda is meant for dharma, artha, kama. All of us have got goals in life. Four goals are there, which we have discussed in Tathobodha also. Dharma, artha, kama means it is a materialistic lifestyle, progressive in nature. Spiritual lifestyle means I am interested in freedom from body, mind, being born again and again. I want to realize my freedom now. Not after death of the body, but right now. For that, that is what is called as moksha. Many people, they don't know what is moksha. Moksha means freedom from limitations. Any instruction given by Veda is called as dharma. Chodana lakshana artha dharma. Any instruction, suppose it says follow non-violence, that is one instruction given by the Veda. Now we can find many things in the Veda. It tells you about rituals, it tells you what are the different lokas we can achieve by way of doing those rituals. These are all the Vedic times where people were very focused on only two things. One is either go to heaven and enjoy different worlds or get moksha. So those were that is how the four Purusharthas were discussed in the Veda. Now, Veda talks about two primary varnas. One is Grihastha, another is Sannyas. Grihasthas, they do pravritti dharma karma. That means they are involved in the Veda Purva Bhaga. They do rituals, they have dharma, artha, kama as their main goal. Whereas a person who wants to get away from birth and death and repeated birth and death of dharma, artha, kama again and again, he wants to be free from this. Veda tells you there is another marga, which is called as Jnana Kanda, which is what we are studying in Bhagavad Gita. So, where is it mentioned about these two lifestyles? In chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, the third verse, Lord says, Lokesmin dvidha nishta pura prokta mayanagha Jnanayogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. Shankaracharya writes a very, very big commentary for this verse. This verse becomes the basis for Karma Yoga. And here again, it talks about how the universe was created, the rishis and different groups. And Bhagavan taught the way of life, of materialistic life or a spiritual life. Materialistic life is meant for attaining Swarga Loka, different lokas. Spiritual life is maintained for getting Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi means my mind should become purer and purer. Today my mind has got all the doshas. What are the doshas? Kama, Krodha. Kama means desire. Krodha means anger. Lobha, greed. Matsarya, jealousy. These are all different. The main dosha is avidya. Krishna will explain in the next section. Artha kama is natural to human beings. We don't, by nature our body is external. And when we are going through this life, artha kama is the first thing which we look for. When we start our, in childhood, school, college, we earn money, maintain. Artha means basically security. I need money for security. In the third chapter, Lord says, suppose you don't follow dharma, what will happen? Your life will be in vain. So the first thing which is taught in the Bhagavad Gita is follow a dharmic life. The whole maintenance of creation depends on dharma. On dharma means on Panchamaha Yajna, which we'll be seeing in the third chapter and the fourth chapter. This all slides pertain to creation, not so important. It just gives you some information, so I'll skip this portion. Jnanam and Vairagyam, at a higher level, when we need the Jnanam, we need to have Vairagyam from the world. Vairagyam means we need to have a dispassion for Kama and Artha. To get Jnanam, ultimately to get Atma Jnanam, if you want to follow dharma, Artha and Kama also, generally it is not possible. You can't say I will get into Nivritti Marga and also do Pravritti. Pravritti means Karma Kandam, Dharma, Artha Kama. Nivritti means withdrawal from Pravritti and then you focus on Jnana Kandam. Later on in the third chapter, Shankaracharya also says, whenever you are in the Jnana Kanda portion, your mind is tuned towards Nivritti Marga. Even though you may be doing karma along with jnanam, that karma is not predominant, jnanam becomes predominant. Like for example, all of us, we are learning Bhagavad Gita, at the same time we are working in the offices and we are working around. So what is our lifestyle? Our lifestyle is learning the jnanam, at the same time living a life of dharma artha kama. But slowly what will happen, the more you learn the atma jnanam, your mind will focus more and more on the knowledge of atma, and then there will be a gradual reduction in the other goals of life. So sakshi or modern science deals with only pancha Indriyas. Whatever our five sense organs can reveal, science will study. But there is another I which is called as Sakshi, which is called as Atma, where science has got no access. We don't have access to the scientists, they don't have access, or any other philosopher, they don't have access to Atma at all. To get access to Atma, we need to come to the Veda. How do we cope up with both Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda? Both are useful. One has got usefulness. Karma Kanda is useful to gain the worlds. That means to gain different lokas. Jnana Kanda is useful for getting moksha, for freedom. Gita is the same as what is taught in the Vedas, in the Upanishads. Veda is called as Shruti and Gita is called as Smriti. The way the Purva Varga deals with materialistic pursuit, way the Antabhaga deals with spiritual pursuit. And all the human beings are designated into Varnas and Ashramas. Brahmana, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra. These are all different varnas. Ashrama means Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. So the duties are given based on your position or status in this varna and ashrama. You can be in any society, but you will know according to your age, according to your lifestyle, you will be given duties. Duty which is given to you is your swadharma. We can never leave our duty. Two things which Lord Krishna says in the third chapter. He says all of us are forced to do karma by law, by nature. We cannot avoid doing action. What type of action we should do is decided by our varna and ashrama. So, Bhaja Govindam beautifully describes our worldly existence of samsara. And then to come out of this samsara, to cross this ocean of samsara, is the study of Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna is an avatara, avatara means he has taken birth to get rid of adharma in life. Now these are the basic lessons we should know before we start the study of Bhagavad Gita. And Shankaracharya gives all this information so that we are able to put our study in the right perspective. In the third chapter, Lord Krishna talks about increase of worldly desires leads to demerits, papa. And then how does our intellect gets covered? He beautifully mentions in the verse 37, kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudbhava. That means our intellect gets covered by our desires, therefore we are not able to know our real nature as Atma. And how to remove this covering is by the study of Gita. We must have Viveka. Viveka means what is Atma, what is Anatma. Whenever there is a decay of righteousness, in the fourth chapter, Lord Krishna says, there will be an avatara who will come and who will set adharma into dharma. Now, in the case of Bhagavad Gita, during the Mahabharata time, there was a lot of adharma which was going on. Lord Krishna took the avatara to destroy adharma and to establish dharma. What is the difference between Janma and avatara? Janma means we take a body. And avatara also means we take a body. Now, janma means we take a body helplessly because of desires. We come into the body with our sukshma shariram into a particular body to enjoy certain things in the world and then take another body to come and enjoy another set of desires. That is what is called as janma. Avatara means Lord takes a specific body not out of helplessness but out of compassion. It is a deliberate birth taken by the Lord. It is either Rama avatara, Krishna avatara, these are all different avataras. Dharma Rakshanam and Dharma Shikshanam. These are the two jobs of a Brahmana. Rakshanam means protect the Dharma and Shikshanam means propagation of Dharma. I've already dealt with all this Pravarti and Nivarti and in a spiritual society, dharma artha is protected. Values are protected. In a materialistic society, only artha and kama exist. Moksha and dharma are generally forgotten. So, these are some of these points made out by Shankaracharya in his introductory commentary. Now the third section, we have finished two sections, 2 to 7, we have finished. First one was the Mangala Shloka. Now the third section is 8 to 10. Totally there are 22 topics in this introduction. I will quickly run through this. The third section is dealing with description of Lord. What is the nature of Lord? What is the power of the Lord? And how he is able to remove ignorance is the main topic in this 8 to 10. Here description is given. This paragraph, translations are given, you can read them, you can know a little bit more in depth. And in my slides, I will give you some pointers to study these bhashyams. What is the swarupa of this Bhagavan? First of all, you should know that he is the master of all the jivas. See, normally we say God, but we don't know what is the nature of that God. Bhagavan does not... See, for example, okay, all of us, we are all only bodies. We get our body's digestion, the earth's movements, they are not under our control. There is some controller. We are talking about that controller. So that controller is... First of all, he is birthless. There is no birth for him. There is no death for him. Therefore, what? He is Nitya. Second point is, he is Avyaya. Avyaya means he is Marana Rahitaha. And third is, he is the Lord of all the Jivas because the Jiva's breath is controlled by that Lord. You are in this body up till the time your breath is there. The moment breath leaves, the body is gone, the jiva perishes. So who controls this? There is a principle which is called as God. See, many times people ask, show me what is the nature of God. Show me what the form of God. Not possible. These are all, God is nothing but it is a sum total of all the laws of creation. Birth, death, planet movements, everything. But that Lord is Nitya. Nitya means it is there all the time. It is Satyam. Satyam means it can exist independently. Therefore, this Atma is called as Nityaha, it is called as Muktaha. It is ever free. Nitya means ever existing. Muktaha means ever free. For puja purposes, we have got different forms of that Lord. Lord Ganesha, Shiva, Krishna, Vishnu. These are all forms so that we can do a puja. We can remember that principle, which is called as Brahman. You see, a lot of people, they don't know, when they go to a temple, they are only blessing this reality. What is that reality? We are studying that nature of that reality in Bhagavad Gita. That Lord has got sixfold wealth, which I discussed, I think, in the last week in the Bhagavad Gita class. Aishwaryam and all that, which we discussed. Try to remember that. Now, this Lord has got para prakriti. Para prakriti means absolute reality. That comes in the 7th chapter. The word para is used in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And like a magician who creates a magic show, this Lord in Dakshinadamurti Stotram, Shankaracharya says, the Lord is like the magician. He creates this universe, he spins this universe like how a magician spins a world in front of us. So Mula Prakriti or Maya is the material cause. Now, what is this Mula Prakriti? We will study in very big detail. Primarily, it means in the next section, in volume 2 of these notes, in the next week, we will do volume 2. We will study a little bit more about what is Mula Prakriti and how there is a fall from not knowing Bhagavan and how do we have repeated births and deaths. We will see in the next volume of the notes, in the second volume. Now, this Prakriti which we discussed earlier is basically in the Upanishads, it says it has got three Shaktis, three powers. Nature. Normally we say nature, but what is that nature? It has got three powers. Panchabhutas are a part of this Maya. Maya or three gunas. See, Maya is a name for all the three gunas put together. Three gunas means what? Rajas, Sattva and Tamas. We will study this in the 14th chapter. But Shankaracharya just gives us an introduction of how to see this world with the help of three gunas. All of us have got the power to know something. That power to know something is given a name, sattva, sattva guna. All, including animals, birds, they have a power to know. Rajas means a power to do something. We are able to do action through our organs of action. So karma indriyas, tathavoda. So when we do action, that is that there is a power. Our body has got the power to know, our body has got a power to do something. And then the same body also has a power to just lie down, doing nothing. It is called as dravya shakti. So jnana shakti, kriya shakti, dravya shakti. Like a book has got only dravya shakti. A table has got only dravya shakti. It doesn't have jnana shakti. It doesn't have kriya shakti. Table is inert, say stone. So all of us and the world is made up of three gunas. And who is the controller? And these three gunas together is called as Maya. And who is the controller of these three gunas? Three gunas are controlled by Ishvara. Ishvara means there is a controller of all the laws of nature. And that Lord is Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. See, whatever we say, this Brahman or Atma ultimately is represented by an avatara shariram for easy purposes. For example, if we have to learn about the world, then we need to have somebody teaching us. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it is the Lord who teaches Arjuna about the knowledge of Atma. The purpose, as I told you, of an avatara is loka anugrahartam. That means to bless the world and to remove adharma. What about the purpose of a jiva? Jiva takes body for karma exhaustion. I have certain karma phalam in my karana shariram. I take birth for karma phala exhaustion. The jiva's cause is ignorance. I don't know that Lord. I here means the ahamkara. Ahamkara, ego, does not know who he is. The moment the ahamkara gets the knowledge, he is not the body. There is a power which is called as consciousness, which is the ultimate controller of this universe. The more the ahamkara thinks of this atma, then the power of that ego will diminish. When the power diminishes and atma is completely understood and claimed, that status of the mind is called as moksha. See how important to know what is moksha right in the beginning of the study of Bhagavad Gita, because it is a moksha shastra. By the study, you will not get an increment in your office. By the study of Bhagavad Gita, you will know that how I can not get another birth again in this world and suffer. So Gita is a moksha shastra. In the 15th chapter, that nature of prakriti is described in the third mantra. Narupamasyeta tadovalabhyate. I don't know when I did all those karmas in my previous janmas, but it exists. And to get rid of that is this Brahma Vidya. Okay, then Lord Krishna's main purpose was to teach the Shastra. That is what it said in the Shankaracharya's Bhashyam. We have studied this. Okay, now coming back to Arjuna. Arjuna's had twofold problems. One was sorrow, another is delusion. Now delusion is about dharma, adharma, aviveka. That means I don't know what is dharma, I don't know what is adharma, I don't know what is dharma, and I think adharma is dharma, and I think dharma is adharma. That was Arjuna's problem. And that delusion led to sorrow. But what is this delusion based on? Shankaracharya says, delusion is based on ignorance of Atma. Ignorance suppresses knowledge permanently. Sorrow suppresses knowledge temporarily. Suppose you are sorrowful today. And then after 2 days, your knowledge will come back. Your Viveka Shakti will come back. For 2 days, you'll be suffering. I don't know what to do. Why is what is the purpose of life? All these problems will you start saying. But there is a bigger sorrow in life, and that is, I don't know my nature. That is the biggest sorrow for all the human beings. They don't know this. They don't know. But then it expresses in different forms. I don't know, my nature is always free from this body and mind. I'm temporarily attached to this body, mind. The jiva doesn't know this. And the moment jiva comes to know this, that delusion is a deadly aspect of my mind. He starts looking out for some way to get out of this delusion. And that is why people come to study of Bhagavad Gita. Short-term emotional problems can be solved, but long-term Viveka Shakti covered because of avidya, because of Mula Avidya. Mula Avidya means I don't know my nature is pure consciousness. So this particular verse, or the seventh verse of the second chapter we have done last week, Arjuna says, I am your disciple. This is the verse where Arjuna becomes a disciple and Lord Krishna becomes the guru. And in the 73rd verse of 18th chapter, after all the studies of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Arjuna says, my delusion is gone. Once the delusion is gone, you are an efficient person in this world. Suppose you know your Swarupam as Atma, you will be a better mother, you will be a better father, you will be a better boss, because you don't have confusions in life. So teaching is very, very important to know. Even after 5,000 years, Bhashyam students are there. People like you who are interested. I took this Bhashyam study because there were a few students of this group who had registered for the Gita class. They said, we want to, and I was also studying the Bhashyam, and I finished the second chapter. I decided to then take the second chapter Bhashyam for this group. So one small thing which Shankaracharya says is, we say Gita, the Bhagavad Gita has got 700 verses. Gita is a name given to each verse. That's what one of the commentators says, that Gita means every single verse, and 700 verses are there. Normally we say the whole text is called as Bhagavad Gita, but then there are some commentators who say that every verse is called as Gita. Gita means song. The next topic, 11 and 12, is talking to us about what are the different confusions which are there regarding Gita. Some say it is bhakti, some say it is karma, some say it is upasana. What are the different confusions when we study Gita? See, all this Shankaracharya makes it right in the introduction. Let's see quickly what is this, what are the confusion. Basically, we all have emotions. We all suffer from some emotions. There are good emotions, there are some emotions which disturb us. How to come out of those emotional situations where we get caught up is the study of, again, Bhagavad Gita. There are two teachings which we have said before, karma and karma yoga and jnana yoga, and Upanishad is an essence of Gita is an essence of the Upanishad. And here in this particular portion, Shankaracharya says, I will attempt to sort out the confusions regarding the Veda Sara. What is the Veda Sara? Is Karma Kanda Veda Sara, or is it Jnana Kanda? And then there is a little bit of grammar and why what are the components of a commentary are given here in this portion, Pada Vivaranam, and how to split the words. These are all descriptions of how, by the commentators, on how to study the Bhashyam. I'm not going into the Brahmana, the grammar portion. I will touch upon the major confusions which exist. The main confusion among the scholars is, does Gita teach Dvaitam or does it teach Advaitam or Visishta Advaitam? See, all of them are interested in moksha. Dvaitam means Lord is there, I am there, and by going to Swarga I will get moksha. That is Dvaitam. I can never become the Lord and Lord can never become me. What about Visishta Advaitam? Visishta Advaitam is, I am a part of the Lord. I have to join the Lord and then get moksha. What does Advaitin say? Advaitin says that here and now, I know my Swarupam and I will be free. And that is what we are discussing in the study of Bhagavad Gita. Advaitam is ultimate reality. Gita teaches karma, Gita teaches bhakti, Gita teaches jnanam. But what is the central teaching? The central teaching, is it karma? No. Is it bhakti? No. Is it upasana, meditation? No. The central teaching is jnanam. It is atma jnanam. To establish this teaching of atma jnanam is the study of Bhagavad Gita. Then the next, the fifth topic is from 13 to 17. Here, an overall purpose of the study of Gita, that means the cessation of birth and death, is what is taught by Shankaracharya. We have to implement this self-knowledge. We have to renounce our actions, and this leads to Jivan Mukti. This is one portion of this study. And then there's another portion which is Anubandha Chatushtaya. We will not be able to complete this. We'll probably continue this particular portion. Anubandha Chatushtayam is basically what are the four factors before the study begins, which we have touched upon in our previous sessions: Vishaya, Prayojanam, Adhikari, and Sambandha. These are the four topics which every text must take care of. Shankaracharya says Bhagavad Gita takes care of the Prayojanam. He stresses on the benefit of the study of Bhagavad Gita, which we will discuss while we go through the slides. And how we can prepare our mind through port reduction. I will explain that when we go through the slides. Here, a lot of mantras are used from Mahabharata. The descriptions, the numbers are given here in the Sanskrit portion. See here, Mahabharata, these are the... See, Shankaracharya uses the Mahabharata dharma portion, all coming from Mahabharata. Okay. Now, Anubandha Chatushtayam, which I told you just now, connected with Gita Shastra. Every Shastram, every text of study has to say what is the subject, what is the benefit, who is the target audience, and what is the connection between the text and the knowledge, text and the prayojan. Why do I study? How is this text connected? The main Shankaracharya focuses in this particular section. He focuses mainly on the ப்ரயோஜனம் பார்த்து. ஆல் ஆஃப் அஸ் ஆர் இன்ட்ரெஸ்டட் இன் சுக பிராப்தி. சுக பிராப்தி மீன்ஸ் ஐ வாண்ட் ஹாப்பினஸ், கண்டினியூஸ் ஹாப்பினஸ் அண்ட் துக்க நிவர்த்தி. துக்க நிவர்த்தி மீன்ஸ் ஐ டோன்ட் வாண்ட் டு ஹேவ் சஃபரிங் இன் லைஃப். The study of Bhagavad Gita directly gives you these two benefits. Why? Because I then know that I am not connected with the conditions of the body or the conditions of the mind. Veda dharma pravritti marga is basically the Veda puro marga. Nivritti dharma is the Veda Antabhaga. Veda Antabhaga means the portion which we are studying. In deep sleep also we have no sorrow. In pralayam, this we don't know. Pralayam means when there is whole creation goes into an unmanifest condition, they say there is no sorrow. Sleep and pralayam, we have to wake up again to this world. It is only a temporary solution for sorrow. How do you compare it with moksha? Moksha is total cessation, atyantika dukkha nivarti, absolute cessation of sorrow. See, all this is telling us, Shankaracharya is telling us, so that we get motivated to study this shastra. And samsara is the cause, samsara means repeated cycle of birth and death caused by mula avidya, which means the root cause. I don't know the self. And how will this mula avidya samsara go away? It will go away only by brahma vidya. So this is the benefit of shastram study. This is what is the central portion of this particular area of this section, which is the fifth section, atyantika dukkha nivritti and sukha prapti. And how do we get moksha? This is a very, very big topic. We'll discuss in the next volume. Can we get moksha by karma? No. Sannyasa sahita jnanam gives moksha. Internal sannyasa, not physical sannyasa. In the mind, I have to drop my identification with the thoughts and then find out what is the basics, what is the ground of those thoughts. Knowing the ground of the thoughts as Atma, as pure consciousness, I come to know that I am ever free from the mind, I am ever free from the body. Normally, they talk about withdrawal from or reduction. What are the reductions they talk about when we want to have this hold on this Atma? We withdraw from our attachment to possessions, attachment to obligatory duties, attachment to relationships, and attachments to transactions. I'm not talking about complete stoppage. I'm only saying attachment, over attachment to possessions. That is the meaning of sannyasa. Physical sannyasa, everybody knows. You wear an orange robe, yes. But what Gita wants to say is, a grahastha can be an internal sannyasi when his attachment to port means possessions, obligatory duties, relationships and transactions. What are the advantages if I reduce this port? Number one, I get availability of time. Port always takes all our time. Port is the cause of mental distraction and mental disturbances all the time. Either you're thinking of your possessions, your relationships, your transactions, or your duties. Is there something which I can think about by which I can get freedom from these four things? That is Atma. So port weakens the ahamkara, ego I. Ego I is an empirical I. It is a relative I. Sakshi I, Atma I, is the permanent I, which is the eternal, immortal I. That is what is the description of Tattvamasi. You are that Atma I. You are not the ego I. That is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Ahamkara, ego I, is dominated by possessions, duties, relationships, transactions. Whereas Sakshi I is ever in silence, ever unconnected with the world. But only in the presence of that Sakshi, the world gets its energy, the body gets its energy to act in the world. Very beautiful way in which Shankaracharya builds this whole thing. And so one of the debates in the Bhagavad Gita, which you will see, is what is the direct cause of liberation? Is it karma or is it jnana? Or is it a joint? Karma jnana samuchaya. Think about it. We will be studying this in very, very big detail in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And also, it's a very big debate in the next section, the next volume, which will be starting next week. So, by studying a grihastha's liberation, you should never have a doubt, can a grihastha get moksha? Shankaracharya beautifully says in this bhashyam, grihastha can get moksha. Which means you and I can have jivan mukti while living in this world itself. I can learn the Bhagavad Gita and I can know that I am ever free Atma. Jnanena matrena moksha. Through knowledge of Atma alone, you can get freedom. Freedom from sorrow. Kevala jnana matrena moksha. Kevala jnana. There is no combination of karma with jnana. This is a very, very big topic. We'll study this portion, whether it is how karma cannot help in moksha. Anugita is another course of Bhagavad Gita in Mahabharata, taught to Arjuna himself, consists of 1043 verses. Krishna teaches Arjuna again, and there he says very clearly, jnanam is enough to attain the nature of Brahman. These are the there is a verse in the 16th verse, in the 16th chapter of the Gita. Okay, that's mentioned here. Dukkha Nivritti, Ananda Prapti. I have given you the details. I'm not going word by word in my notes for the class, because these things can be read and you can know. It's a very simple, these notes are very simple to understand once you have got the overall hang through my classes. I am Akarta Atma all the time. Every moment of my living, I am Atma, I am Atma, I am Atma. That Atma is the substratum for this body, mind, as well as the entire universe. This fourth chapter, 18th verse, is one of the few confusing verses of Bhagavad Gita, where he says, the one who recognizes inaction in action and action in inaction. That means he recognizes I am Sakshi when the body is acting. For knowledge of the Sakshi, you have to know Bhagavad Gita. Naiva kinchit karomiti. The Lord says, I do nothing at all in this universe. By my mere presence, everything goes on. These are two very, very important shlokas. When we do the Bhagavad Gita, we will see the essence. And, okay. 18 to 20. Okay. We have another 3 minutes. Let me see if I can look at this. This portion, 18 to 20, this is the sixth section where Bhagavan says there is a Vedic law for moksha. Moksha exists already. And through the Bhagavad Gita, I will teach you how this law can be implemented in a pure mind. And for that, you need to have complete dedication to this knowledge. And then he talks about Sakama Karma and Nishkama Karma. What are the benefits of that in this particular section? And that is the broad analysis of this section, which is 18 to 20. Okay. Sakama Karma is for material benefit. Nishkama Karma is for spiritual benefit. We assimilate Atma Jnanam and become free. And the basic purpose is to enjoy the freedom while we are living. While we are living, that is what is called as Jivan Mukti. Three mindsets are required to study, to think and to live a life of dedication. You live a life of dedication to Jnana Yoga. I will follow Jnanam. Throughout my life, let me understand that essence through the Gita. And then, that will give me Chitta Shuddhi, Jnana Nishtha. Jnana Nishtha means, it will give me the power to live a Jivan Mukti life. I am Atma. I am Atma. All the time, when we understand the nature of Atma, that gives us the freedom. Karma is required, but it is a stepping stone. It is not like for eating. Eating, you need a plate to be washed. But washing is not the main purpose. It is like for cooking is not the main purpose. Cooking is for eating ultimately. Similarly, Karma Yoga is used for gaining the jnana. What is Karma Yoga? We will see in chapter 3, 4, 5. And when we do Nishkama Karma means you do karmas with only one goal. I should get my purity of mind. All the actions which I do in my life, suppose I say I will do actions to keep my mind pure. Then you see the difference in your actions. Okay, so I think I will stop with this topic. The rest of this portion is here. And the last portion is 21 and 22. And here, Lord Krishna says, Gita is a moksha shastram. And he says, Karma Yoga is a means for Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga is a means for moksha. Suppose you keep moksha as the ultimate goal, Shankaracharya says, then moksha will also give you the benefit of dharma, artha and kama. Because he says, finally, you get the knowledge, I am the Adhishthanam for the whole universe. Therefore, moksha should become your primary goal. That is the essence of this 21 and 22. And I'm sure you can read this. With this, I will say that the first volume of the notes which have been sent to you, I have given you a broad outlook, a broad overview of that. These notes are fairly simple. If you understand the overall view, that should be enough. Next week, I will take up the second volume of the Bhashyam notes, and we will run through it, and the second volume. From the third volume of the Bhashyam notes is the 11th verse of the second chapter. Second chapter, 11th verse is the third volume of Bhashyam notes. There are about 2000 pages for chapter 2. I'm still writing the last few verses right now for the notes, but roughly there are 10 volumes, 10-12 volumes of these notes only for one chapter, second chapter. But once we have the, once we come to the 11th verse, which is the starting point of the teaching, I'll be taking in a very slow way. Okay? Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hey.